The Haines Borough Assembly discusses access to the Chilkat River during the second phase of the Haines Highway Project. And KHNS hosts a conversation with representatives from the University of Alaska and a panel of Haines residents about a timber sale being negotiated in the Chilkat Valley. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. This morning, KHNS spoke with representatives from the University of Alaska and a panel of Haines residents about a timber sale being negotiated in the Chilkat Valley. Reporter Abby Collins has a few highlights from that conversation.
Earlier this year, the University of Alaska announced it's negotiating a timber sale on 13,400 acres of its land in the Chilkat Valley. The university is a land-grant institution. It has about 150,000 acres of land to be developed to help with funding. This sale near Haines and Clukwan is estimated to generate 150 million board feet and $10 to $15 million over the course of 10 years. UA estimates it will generate 40 to 45 jobs. According to the university, money from the sale will help fund things like the UA Scholars Program and Cooperative Extension Service. UA President Jim Johnson spoke with KHNS.
We're going to comply with all of the laws that apply, and there are quite a few of them. But our standards are higher than those. I just want that to be really clear. We want to be a responsible and a leader here in Alaska. And so even if the law allows us to do X, Y, or Z, we're really going to seek that higher ground.
Johnson pointed to a set of guiding principles to be used throughout the project. Some of the university land falls within the bounds of the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve, established in the 1980s to protect the raptors. The university land is exempt from certain restrictions imposed on the preserve, meaning timber extraction would be legal. However, the preserve's advisory council has asked UA not to harvest timber there. Johnson addressed that.
I'm not going to make a statement right now exempting that. Again, we are legally allowed to go in, but just because we're legally allowed to go in doesn't mean necessarily that we will. We're going to assess that resource.
Land is also near the Chilkat Indian village of Clukwan, where Tony Strong is from.
Even though they're talking about it, about being careful, I expect it'll have a huge impact on our fisheries, and therefore it's going to have an impact on the life of the eagles and the ravens and the other life that depends on the flow of that river and the cleanliness of it.
Ben Kirkpatrick is the president of the Tuktoyaktuk Watershed Council Board of Directors. He's a former habitat biologist for northern Southeast Alaska. Kirkpatrick is also the conservation advisor for the Eagle Preserve Advisory Council. He said in looking at projects like this one, it's important to have all of the information and be involved early in the process. He said once projects are developed, it's harder to make changes.
Logging, mining, road building is not inherently evil. It's totally not. We all depend on that as a community, on these infrastructure and business. But it's all about how you regulate it and permit it, and that is ultimately up to us as residents to have an influence on.
Sylvia Hines is co-owner of Mud Bay Lumber Company, a small local mill. She said she sees huge potential for the local timber industry in Haines. Hines said she's been trying to figure out how to be independent from large-scale sales, but hasn't yet come up with anything.
I hear a lot of fight against against the sale or support for the sale. And I think that as a community, it'll benefit us to try to think more strategically how to mitigate the costs of large scale industry and how to take advantage of the opportunities to be able to think 10 years ahead and 20 years ahead and 30 years ahead.
Scott Rossman is also part of the local timber industry. He owns the Stump Company and has been logging since the late 1980s. He's seen the boom and bust.
Basically, for the last 20 years, I've been picking up the pieces of what was left behind. And I am seeing the end of that. And so, like she says, with logging roads costing $200,000 and $300,000 and $400,000 and $500,000 a mile, it's not something I'm going to do anytime soon. So somewhere in there, something has to happen. I'm not sure what.
Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel said that as the university plans evolve, it's important to integrate timber into a larger picture of the economy.
How can we impact this project to elongate it and make it into something that would be more beneficial to the community and to the environment over the very long term, which we might consider to be longer than 30 years, because the boom and bust that we've already lived through, I think, was probably about 30 years.
At this point, the university is reviewing and responding to public comments and continuing negotiations with the interested buyer. It expects to bring a negotiated contract back to the Board of Regents for approval later this summer. In Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
These were just a few highlights from the hour-long Lynn Canal Voice. You can find the full conversation on our website, khns.org. At a meeting Tuesday, the Haynesboro Assembly endorsed the Chilkat River Access Working Group's recommendations for maintaining and enhancing river access during the second phase of the Haynes Highway Project. Earlier this year, the borough convened a working group of stakeholders invested in the Chilkat and Klahini Rivers. They documented currently used access points, identified how the points are used, and identified challenges that have arisen during times of high use and demand. Assemblyman Tom Morfitt raised doubts about the Alaska Department of Transportation actually taking into account and following through on the working group's recommendations. Assemblyman Tresham Gregg echoed this sentiment, saying that he worried about not having any way to oversee the implementation of these recommendations during construction. Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel responded that Alaska DOT officials had already been involved with the River Access Working Group. She said that the group's recommendations will be part of DOT's design process, and that stage is the only opportunity they will have to influence the project. In a report from May 25th, the working group outlined 11 different areas between 13 Mile and 26 Mile that they would like to maintain as access points during construction. The working group recommended not limiting some groups to use specific access points on the river because changes in the ebb and flow of the river make some areas inaccessible at different times of the year. Other recommendations included improving parking at Mile 14 and Mile 21, reinstating river access at Milepost 26 that was lost during the Klahini River Bridge replacement, and meeting with stakeholders from Klukwan to discuss land ownership at Mile 19. The resolution to endorse the working group's recommendations to DOT was passed unanimously. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.